Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show where we discuss the concept and applications of separation in all of its forms. Our mission and yours, if you choose to accept it, is to seriously discuss, debate, and vet the concept of separation, and to analyze historical and current separate societies and consider their models for implementation of our own. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight, we are blessed to have a special guest, a guest who is a home builder and who's trying to build a community with like minds and people who realize that living in the communities that are structured by those who are not, those who do not have our best interests, our open enemies, they don't help us build successful communities. So this is why we have our special guest, and Sister Anne of Muhammad's Farms is going to be our host for tonight. She is a friend of our brother, and so what I'm going to do right now and let her talk about the brother and introduce our guest. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Anne.
Wa alaikum salam, sir, and greetings, family and listeners. As Brother Carlton said, we do have a special guest tonight, Mr. John Bradley. Mr. Bradley is a longtime home builder, and in recent years, he has delved into an industry that I feel is going to be growing in tremendous leaps and bounds in the very near future, and that is the container home building industry. Mr. Bradley himself ventured out and did his personal home in what he calls a, I think it's called a double build or something, but he integrated traditional building techniques along with containers. And his home is palatial, is beautiful, and it does not lack anything. He even has a home gym with a sauna, if you can imagine that.
Wow.
He has also sponsored workshops. I think they have one coming up sometime in the near future. But this is how I met Mr. Bradley, by attending one of his container home building workshops, where he actually does on-site training, showing you all of the steps as far as making the container into a livable home place. We invited him because, you know, we still have people thinking that you got to have these palatial stick built, and I call them cookie cutter homes, in subdivisions in order to feel like you're really living. But what Mr. Bradley does is teach you a way to build a home and come away debt free. That is the part about what he does that I like most. So now I'm going to stop talking and let Mr. Bradley come on, and he is just going to tell us tonight about why it's important for us to even consider building communities of our own. And, of course, we should all know that. But this is someone who has already started the process, and that's why we want him to come on and just let us know some of the things that he is doing, what he envisions for the future, and what he invites others to do. So at this time, I'm going to open the floor to Mr. John Bradley.
Sister Ann, I don't see his number on the board now. He'd be calling from a different phone. Mr. Bradley, if you're on the call right now, if you can put the 1 on your phone dial, that will light up your number and I will know to open your mic. Mr. Bradley, if you are listening to the show, push the 1 on your dial and I will open your mic. And yeah, I don't see his number, and I'm just going to wait patiently, Sister Ann, to see if his number comes up or if he pushes the 1.
Okay. Are there any 404 numbers?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Well, as I said, he is one of the premier builders that I know of that's venturing in this area of using shipping containers, converting them into livable homes. And, you know, it's sad that sometimes our people seem to be on the tail end of everything that is innovative and that could really, really save us a lot of time, resources, and money. When I learned about container building, just a few years ago, I was reading this magazine on small homes. That is a trend that is really growing in this country. Of course, other countries, many are already in that mode of not having all this excess space that you really don't even live in, just to say that you have a big home, but rooms that you rarely go in. And I always wondered, as a young girl coming up, visiting other people, because we never did it at my house. My family had so many children that we used every room that we had all the time. But there are families, and there were families when I was growing up. You would visit these homes, and they would have rooms. They call them the living room. And nobody ever went in that room. It was for company. And depending on what company was visiting, that company may not even get a chance to go in the living room. It was a room in the home used for anything other than living, which is a what they call an oxymoron. You got this room, you set
That's
aside
right.
in your home, decorated get in very
trouble.
Beautifully. Yeah, and it's just for show. It's just for show. As a matter of fact, my oldest sister, who's no longer with us, had a room in her home just that way. And I always wonder, why don't you use this space? I mean, you sacrifice, buy a home, and then you set this room off and never go in it. And to me, it makes absolutely no sense. With the container and the small home building, well, Mr. Bradley's home that he has already is in no way a small home. It's spacious, but not excess space. And what he did, as I said, he integrated a traditional build along with the containers on each end of his home. The traditional build is sandwiched between containers. And he has a loft that when we were there for our workshop and training, the next phase he was going to do is turn his loft into, I guess, his space that he could call his very own and not have to disturb any of the space in the lower level. But it's a trend that I think is going to be growing. And when I found out about the containers, when I went to the workshop, that on each corner of the container, strong enough to hold up 80,000 pounds. I believe I'm quoting that correctly. But each corner of the container. So there's a technique. And another thing I learned, they can be stacked, I believe, 8 high. We had one person after we had gone to the training that mentioned that in her hometown, I think it was Sister Sharon, if I'm not mistaken, that stated in her hometown there was someone building an office building using these very containers. There's a certain way that they have to be stacked if you're going to stack them because those corners is where the strength is, not in the middle section of it. And when I heard that, I said, okay, people are really learning. Theory is we're going to wait so long to catch on to the trend that the cost of the bare containers is going to almost be the cost of a home, a small home. But if you get them now when they're plentiful, even if you're not going to use them now, if you have space and can store them somewhere, you know, get them now and just store them someplace until you think about what you're going to do. And another thing that can be used for, and we're doing that here at the farm, is they can be used for storage containers, make very good storage containers. And what Mr. Bradley does in his workshop is also train you on what to look for to make sure you're getting a good quality container, because there could be damages that you don't know how to check for that could cause you problems and extra expense along the way. So his training educates you as to what you need to look for. Sizes are available and everything. And the flooring, sometimes the flooring in it is a special hardwood that can just be refinished. And you could even use the existing floor in it if it's not in bad shape. And I think one person who was putting his home, he had bought some property on, bought a lot on Mr. Bradley's property up in Commerce, Georgia. And I think he was going to start building his home, container home, on that property. And I'm not sure of the exact amount of acreage Mr. Bradley has dedicated to building these homes, but hopefully when he comes on, he'll talk about all of that. signs of his number, Brother Carson?
I just dialed into him. Mr. Bradley, this is Brother Carlton. We are looking to have you on our radio show tonight.
Oh, how you doing?
Yes, sir. Do you have the phone number?
Yeah, I'm about to dial it now. I just walked in the house.
Yes, sir. Go ahead and dial it. We'll be waiting for you. And when you get in, push the number one. Thank you. All right. Okay, so I took the liberty to call him, Sister Anna. He's going to be calling in just a minute.
Thank you for that, because I've had recent, as a matter of fact, last night, contact with Mrs. Bradley. She texted me the number that he was going to be calling in on. So I knew something had to happen for him not to be on, because they were very eager to do the program.
Yes, ma'am. So he'll probably be calling in on watch for him and probably be calling in any minute now.
Okay.
There he is. Mr. Bradley, are you on?
I am.
Well, greetings, Mr. Bradley. This is Sister Ann.
How you doing, Sister Ann?
I'm doing just great, sir. And how are you?
Working too much and can't keep up with my schedule.
I know the feeling. I indeed know the feeling. But we are so glad that you took the time to come on the program. I've already talked about what it is that you do, how I came to know you by attending mm-hmm. your workshop, and talked about your personal home there and what a showplace it is, sandwiched between traditional bills, sandwiched between containers. So we're
right.
going to let you have the floor to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about tonight, especially the community you're striving to build there and what you see for the future in the type building that you are proposing. And
yes, ma'am.
Just take it away. The floor is yours.
Okay. Thanks for letting me be a part of this program. I'm so sorry that I was late. I just walked in from working on a container house, actually, and lost track of time. I'm trying to get finished up with this bill that we're working on. But what we're trying to do out here is we're starting a community. We've actually started a community. And one of the things that we really strive for is self-sufficiency. Our goal is to be at least 80% self-sufficient. And what I mean by that is we strive to try to build our own shelter. We also try to produce our own electricity. And we do try to at least produce a large portion of the food that we eat. And so far, we've been pretty successful in the things that we've tried to do. We've got two structures out here. I have another family that's building a cabin, and it's out of a shipping container. It's a 20-foot container cabin, and we also live in a container. We have 11 acres. And we're trying to get, we have another home that we're trying to sell, but we're trying to sell that home to someone that's community oriented, because we're still trying to develop the community. Been doing containers now for about, I would say, 3 to 4 years, but I've been in construction for more than 20 years. And those are some of the things that we're trying to do. And I'm more than happy to answer any questions that you all may have about shipping containers or the self-sufficiency aspect of our program. So I'll just kind of be quiet and listen to some of the questions that you all have, and maybe I'll be able to answer them. Does anybody have any questions that they want to ask me?
Okay, Brother Carlton, do you have questions?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, our listeners, if you have a question, this is your opportunity to ask Mr. Bradley directly any questions you have about sustainability and container homes. You've heard about them. You may have seen them. And you can ask questions about the energy efficiency, the cost, the upkeep, the difficult of how difficult it is to make them. So this is your opportunity to ask Mr. Bradley. And we have one caller. We have Sister Sharon. Sister Sharon, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlton and the Blog Talk family. And welcome to our wonderful guest, Dr. Bradley. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
I vividly remember you being on as our guest. It was April of this year.
Oh, yeah.
Or last year. I think it was last year or this year, sir. I think it was this year. But I do have a couple of questions, and I just I am so excited, and I envision having one of those built for myself as well. So I'm working toward that. And one of the questions I have is, in your building, do you use or foresee using solar energy? You mentioned you want to be definitely in the realm of self-sufficiency. Is that one something that you have explored?
Yes, we have about 18 solar panels already set up, and we have about 12 system battery bank. And we're able to run the whole house on the system, but we haven't actually got it set up yet because one of the brothers is in Costa Rica that actually sets it up, and we're waiting on him to come back to finish installing it for us.
Wonderful, but, sir. Yes, sir. I remember the last interview we had with you. You talked about how you made a big adjustment, but it was one that really made your life simple. Now I just forgot my question. Oh, besides that downsizing, what is it now since you've been building and you've got a vivid vision for our own community? What is it that you love about what you do and your ambition in building a community of our own?
Okay, that's a very good question. What's most important to me and my family is I'm trying to experience freedom. I read something once said that if you wake up every day and decide what you want to do for that day, then you're free. But if you wake up and do what you have to do for that day in order to survive, then you're not free. So I'm trying to determine when I wake up and decide to do what I want to do for that day, that's a good day and I feel free. But most of the time, most of us wake up and we do what we have to do. And that's a different mindset, I guess. But it's been very interesting trying to determine whether I'm free or whether I'm not free. I know that's a big one, but it's interesting because when I wake up and I decide, okay, I'm going to go to work today, but do I go to work because that's what I have to do to survive, or do I go to work because that's what I enjoy doing? And today I go to work because I enjoy it. You know, my home is paid for. And so, you know, once we get the food and the electricity, most of my basic needs will be met. And so that's what we're striving for.
Wow, that's beautiful. That is wonderful, sir. And we certainly pray to Allah, God, that He blesses you and continue to keep you strong, to build us a strong community. And I remember the last time you said something like that, that what you love about it is that it's all yours.
Yeah.
You don't owe anyone. So thank
you,
sir.
And that makes a difference.
Definitely makes a difference when we need to separate. It is a time to separate and build and have our own. So thank you, sir. And may Allah God mm-hmm. bless you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I have a question if I can ask one.
Sure.
I have a question about the environmental characteristics of the containers themselves. When I say environment, so I meant like the insides. When I think of containers, and I've been in some shipping containers, in the summer they get extremely hot, and we probably hear mm-hmm. a lot about the immigrants and the people when they do human trafficking, they actually die in those containers because they get mm-hmm. so hot. And then in the wintertime, mm-hmm. If it freezes outside, that metal gets freezing cold. And I was wondering, mm-hmm. characteristic, how do you mitigate that? And how does that compare to a standard house with brick or lumber and sheet and with insulation?
Okay. That's a good question also. What I've done, it took me before I actually began to build shipping containers. I actually studied different systems for about a little over a year, closer to 2 years, before I actually even started to build my first house. And one of the first things that was talked about was insulation, which you was just saying that the heat and the cold of the metal. I recommend using closed cell foam. And the reason we use closed cell foam is because the temperature doesn't translate through that foam. So if you spray, let's say, 2 inches, it's equivalent to like R18 to R20. And so once you spray that foam inside on the container walls, the heat doesn't transfer from the outside to the inside mm-hmm. or either cold.
Hmm.
So my light bill has been roughly about $40 a month since I built this house. And it hadn't changed. But basically, because if it's so well insulated, it doesn't take much to heat or cool it. Once I cool it, it stays cool, or once I heat it up, it stays warm.
Mm-hmm.
So did that answer the question?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. I wouldn't have expected that, but that's amazing that the insulation can do that.
Yeah, insulation makes all the difference. You wouldn't be able to live in here without it being well insulated because, like you said, it gets so hot. It'd be kind of rough.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Once again, yes, listeners, sir. If you have any questions, go ahead and press that 1-year dial.
Yeah, and what I would say also is that in his training, Mr. Bradley teaches how to, because you know, you go in, you frame up walls. It's not like you're going into a bare container and just throwing stuff in to live. It's being mm-hmm. converted into a living space with framing, walls framed up, and that's where you're going to put your insulation paneling or sheetrock or whatever you want to do over your framing and insulation. So it looks just mm-hmm. like a home.
It sure and does. What I did was, I'm sorry, Sedan, since you're on that subject, I actually went to a website, Mr. Bradley, and I pulled out, there's a picture of you and your family and one of your homes at a website, tinyhousetrailblazer.com. And it's a beautiful
oh, wow.
picture, a beautiful picture of a tan home that if you didn't tell me, if I didn't know it was a container home, I wouldn't have been able to tell it's a container home. And so any of our listeners, you can go to our Facebook page and I put up a picture of one of these homes, beautiful home.
Okay.
Okay, and while you're on it, while we're on that, Mr. Bradley, could you go ahead? I tried to do it a little bit while we were waiting on you to come on, but talk about the structural integrity of the container, you know, the strength of it to withstand the elements and so forth.
Okay. Well, one of the reasons we chose containers is because of the type of steel that it's made out of. I think it's called, what steel was that called? Quartz and steel.
Tungsten steel, I think it's.
Tungsten steel, that's it.
Yeah,
tungsten
that's what you
steel.
Mentioned at the workshop.
Right. And this is a very strong steel. Basically, once you get in a container, you're like you're in a little tank. They don't go nowhere too fast. Now, you might blow them over. As a matter of fact, if you can look at TV and you'll see, like, sometimes you'll see a container that's off of a ship. Well, this thing actually floats because it's so airtight. I mean, they almost pretty indestructible. But one of the things that we do to take that a step further, we put pillars 18 to 20 inches in the ground. And then we come up and we weld the bottom of the containers to the foundation. So it's in the ground 18 to 20 inches, and then it's welded to that concrete. So you can withstand almost 180 mile an hour wind. They're not going to blow over like a regular house. In fact, they had a picture of a storm that they had in, I believe it was Texas. And a guy had a container house, and all the other houses around him blew away, and his structure was still standing.
Wow.
So they are very, very strong.
Wow.
So that was one of the reasons I chose the container, because and then not only that, the longevity. You're talking about something that'll last a couple hundred years. If not more, whereas a regular conventional structure, after about 60, 70 years, it starts to deteriorate. This container's not going to do that. So that'll be something you can pass down from generations, and it's still standing.
Wow.
Yes, sir. And talk about, Mr. Bradley, there is a process where you can, I know you mentioned what are the different sizes of the containers? And then how can they be made, let's say, larger rooms instead of the, what is it, width
eight,
of them?
8 feet wide.
Mm-hmm. 8 feet wide, if I wanted a 16-foot wide room.
Right. Okay, basically what I do is I will take some type of cutting tool. You can use a grinder or a saw to cut through that metal, and you put the two containers side by side. So if you take out a section, let's say you want a room that's 10 by 20, you might want to take out a 20-foot section of the container on both sides and put it together. Now you got a room to 16 by 20.
Okay.
And you have to use reinforcement. Anytime you cut a piece out of a container, you have to put that back. So what we do is we use box beam, and whatever section that we cut out, we weld that back in for structural support. And so you can actually cut out as much as you want, as long as you replace that for structural support. So you'll weld a box back in the opening, and that's your room size.
Okay.
Yeah,
And Sister Ann, we got a caller that wants to ask a question.
Go ahead.
The last four digits, 5597. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Pam Muhammad. I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri. And I did come to Dr. Ridgely and saw the tour and everything was beautiful, but I am a city girl. So I was just wondering about the heating and cooling, and I know you say energy efficient. Is it firewood? Is it gas? Is it central air? I mean, how is that in the container home? I know it's said that it looks like a regular home, and I'm trying to envision what type of home I want. So, and I would like to be a community person, and I was like, okay, so you say somebody that's community in this, and I want to know what do you mean by that? I mean, I want to be a
Okay, the question was that you wanted to know about the community?
I want to know about the community. I want to know about the efficiency of the, is it like fireplace heating? Is it, I know I got gas heat in my house. And I was just trying to see, if, you know, what's the difference in where I live now and compared to where you all are. And it's self-sufficient as far as the energy. And in the summer, it's hot. And so it's air conditioning and, you know, and I know you said something about solar panels and solar energy and that. So is all of that in the houses that you're building?
Yes, ma'am. Basically, what we do is we'll get a design of a house that you're trying to do or trying to build. Let's just say you get with a architect and you determine what type of house you want to build. The architect will draw that up for you. And then let's say if I was helping you, then I would determine what would it take to actually build a structure. And you kind of go from there. Now, as far as the energy consumption is concerned, I've got gas heat, and I have HVAC unit. So I have both types. I have central unit. Are you familiar with zone heating and cooling?
Zone. What do you mean by zone? I got central.
Okay. It's like a split zone, like in China.
Yes.
Okay, right. So
conducted to certain areas of the house.
Right. You don't run duct. You have a unit on the wall and you run copper line instead of running ducts through, and it either heats or cools the area. So basically that's the way I heat and cool my house, is I use zone units. Now the good thing about a zone is if I'm in the living room, I can run the unit in the living room. If I'm not, I cut it off. If I'm in the bedroom, I run that zone. So that way you can control your heat and cool consumption without heating and cooling the whole house, and you're heating up rooms and cooling rooms that you're not even in, which at the end of the day, you're spending money for that.
Is that radiating, Mr. Bradley?
Excuse me?
Is that radiant heating?
No, it's like a HVAC unit. It's basically the same thing. You know about HVAC heating and cooling systems? Central HVAC unit?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's the same thing. They just, rather than run ductwork, they just run it through one unit on the wall. It's the same type of unit.
Right, and they're called, if you Google, ductless heating.
Yeah.
And
heating.
Okay, that's
because,
true. Okay.
Yeah, I've been looking at them for a few years now because if I had to do something, that is exactly what I would do. And I started noticing them, Mr. Bradley, when I would look at programs of European homes. And that's where they are used and have been used.
Well, actually, all over the world. I mean, China, Europe, I mean, most other countries are more energy efficient than America, you know.
Right.
And if you think about it, when you look at European homes, most of them have zone units on the wall. If you look at Chinese homes, they got the zones on the wall. America's the only one that's blowing, heating, and cooling the whole house, and you're not even in the whole house. So, I mean, they're designed to keep you broke. I mean, really, that's what it is. It's designed to keep you broke. And here's my fight. You know, you either work to have an efficient life or you work to have waste your energy or waste your money, because at the end of the day, you're working for this. So when you spend that day to work for that dollar, I'm not trying to give mine away or blow it, you know. So, you know, I'm trying, if I'm energy efficient and I got a $40 light bill opposed to a $140 light bill, I just saved $100. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
and
sir.
So that's kind of the way I look at it. I'm not here trying to make America rich. I mean, she done lived off our back long enough. So I'm
yes,
trying to
sir.
Be as efficient as possible.
That is a good point. And I think when you mentioned $140 versus $40, I think the price of heating and cooling your homes today, most folk would jump for joy at $140. Because from what I'm hearing, nobody is coming out under $200, $300,
$400 these days. Wow. Yeah. And it's not gonna get better. And this is a part of the point that I'm trying to make. If we're not in a position to take better care of our own selves, and as this country get worse and worse and worse, we're the ones that suffer the most. You know. And you know, I'm a serious student of Booker T. Washington, you know. It's drop your bucket where you're at. And so one of the reasons I use containers is because you can go buy a container for $1,700. Now, let's just assume that you can only afford to buy one container. Well, you can fix one container up, and then let's say next year you can buy another container. Well, then you can add on to the one you've already fixed up. Well, in the next 10 years, you got a sizable home, and you're not in debt. You know, so,
exactly.
You know, I believe in dropping your bucket where you're at. Because debt is just another word for slavery, in my opinion.
Oh, Yes, sir. And, you know, I was listening to a program earlier on National Public Radio, and they were talking about the housing crisis in this country, and that
mm-hmm.
it's getting worse. People
it
should
is.
Be able to afford homes. But, you know, they're not even looking at alternative ways to house people like these containers.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things to solve the problem, and it's the people with the vision like yourself who's going to have to lead the way. Because you think about being able to build the home that you want. And once you finish, you don't owe anybody. Now, who would not love that?
Well, I tell you, it makes a big difference. Again, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you got to go to work because you got to pay the bills.
Right.
Or you wake
up
in the morning, you go to work because this is what I enjoy doing. I got electricity. I've got water. I've got everything everybody else got except the bill for it. And that makes a world of difference.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
So, brothers and sisters, you still have 15 minutes. If you have any questions, this is a rare opportunity to ask about custom container houses, something that you may be interested in doing for yourself, or maybe you would be interested in getting a home in Mr. Bradley's community.
Yeah, in his community, or having him build your home on your own property. I talked a little bit, Mr. Bradley, about what you teach in your workshop, and that is one of the things is how to, I guess, inspect the containers if you're planning to buy them.
Right.
So that do you have? I was going to ask, do you have another workshop plan for the future?
We do, actually. My wife, we're trying to set up another workshop in April. And we're still trying to iron a date down, but we're trying to schedule one for the month of April.
Okay.
And so we're going to basically try, you know, it'll be pretty much hands-on like we did the last one. Basically, we want to try to teach people how to do this, because the more of us know how to build our own houses, the better off we're going to be. And so that's the bigger picture that I look at, you know, is trying to empower basically our community in order to start building your own instead of waiting for some miracle to happen.
Right.
can get out there and build your own. I mean, I said, drop your bucket where you're at, you know. If you got $1,700, well, you can start. You know, just get a container, set it up, and start working on it on your leisure time. And this is what the brother and I are doing. We got a 20-footer. He comes up on weekends, and we work on his house. And he's almost finished. So, I mean, I think how long we've been working on your house? We've been working on it for maybe about 8 months, 9 months, but he's almost finished with it. And that's on weekends. So, you know,
And we have a caller. We have a caller. Can I go ahead and open the line for our caller?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay, caller with the last 4 digits, 9595. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Brother Gerald, and I'm calling from Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. I was wanting Mr. Bradley to first say that I am in love with your spirit, your do-for-self mentality. I am in love with your spirit, and I wanna ask, can you share anything in your background that helped you to be the man that you are today?
Wow, that's a good one. well, thank you. I appreciate that. And my background, I grew up in a town called Tuskegee, Alabama.
Wow.
Wow. And
yeah. Stop right there.
Say no more.
Huh?
That says it all right there.
Okay, that's true. I tell folks, Tuskegee is a different kind of place. But anyway, my grandmother, she pretty much raised me, and my grandmother knew Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver personally.
Wow.
And so I always grew up with no obstacles. I mean, you know, I've always believed, coming from Tuskegee, that you can do anything that you put your mind to. And that's what she always taught me. If you put your mind to it, you can do it. So I've always believed it. I've always lived it. And so, I mean, I've done a lot of things in my life, and, you know, I've always believed in myself. I study. If I'm interested in something, the first thing I'll do is go and get a book about it.
Yes,
and try to educate myself about that particular subject as much as I can. Same thing with container houses. I took online courses. I read books. I did that for almost 2 years before I actually started to do this. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you know, I just kind of took off with it.
Wow. Yes, sir. And I would like to say that, you know, we share a little common thread there. I teach at a college that Booker T. Washington's student, a Housecloth, a Professor Housecloth, left Tuskegee. He was sent by Booker T. to come into Utica, Mississippi, and I'm teaching at what was known as Utica Junior College. Coming out of the hands of T. Washington. Yes, sir.
Wow.
But I want to thank you.
Oh, well, you're quite welcome. I always enjoy talking about Booker T because we, most times, we don't understand the legacy he tried to leave for us. I mean, that town was completely self-sufficient. They made shoes, food, built the buildings. There was nothing in Tuskegee that black people did not do.
Yes,
and
sir.
So what happened to us where we are so dependent today and we don't do anything for ourselves? Something went wrong. And so I'm just trying to re-energize the spirit of Booker T, because his whole goal was to build your own, do for self.
Right.
And we got to get back there if we plan to be successful out here. I believe.
Yes, sir. Some say we were given W.E.B. Du Bois to counter Booker T, but that's another story.
Yeah, but they were actually friends.
Wow.
You know, it was the powers that be that tried to sow the discourse between them. He actually stayed with Booker T at Tuskegee.
Wow.
So a lot of people don't know that history.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for teaching.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And I will say, Mr. Bradley, your personal history would probably be a book very interesting to read. And I think you really should consider that.
I've thought about it. I actually have. I just hadn't had time to sit down and do nothing about it. I'm too busy working.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do. Get you an old-fashioned tape recorder and just sit down at your leisure whenever you have some spare time, because you can always rewind and see where you left off. Just start putting it down that way, and then you can always later have it transcribed and put it in writing. But your story is one that definitely needs to be told.
That's right. And we have another caller. Should I go ahead and let this caller get in?
Yes,
sir.
Okay. Caller with the last four, it's 8804. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Andrea. Mr. Bradley, thank you. Are you all able to hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. I wanted to ask, when you have your workshop, how is there a limit to the amount of people? What is cost and where are you located?
Okay, we're in Commerce, Georgia. We're about, let's say, 15 miles from Athens. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the area,
okay.
But we're northeast Georgia. And
okay.
The workshop, it costs basically $200. And we have
okay.
about a 10-person limit on the workshop. And we do that because we want everybody to get the hands-on experience. And if you get too many, then, you know, people really won't get an opportunity. I won't get an opportunity to touch, you know, talk with everyone and work with everyone to show them, you know, what we're trying to do. So we keep the classes limited to at least 10, maybe 12.
Yes, sir.
And the next one, I think, is in April.
Okay. All right. That's wonderful. I mean, what you're doing to help us re-energize and learn skills and get a mindset that we haven't had, it's a beautiful thing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And, of course, once your workshop is planned, you have your date and everything, Mr. Bradley, just
mm-hmm.
shoot us the notice, and we will keep it posted on our website on this time to leave as well as our Facebook page.
Okay. And okay. Speaking of that, we're down to the last 2 minutes of our show. If our guests wanted to contact you or learn more about your container classes and business, do you have a website or a Facebook page, or what's the best way for them to get in contact with you, Mr. Bradley?
Yes, we do have a website. It's not complete, but you can go to it. We're still working on it. It's called dropyourbucket.com.
How appropriate.
Oh, there it is. Got WEDB
yeah.
Du Bois right in the front. Okay,
yep,
so I will put that on. I'll put that on our website and our Facebook page as well.
Okay, thank you.
And the closing statements. We're down to the last minute and a half.
Okay, what I'm thinking is community is the key. We're trying to set up a 99-year lease program for those who don't have land. We're negotiating with people who do, and we're trying to start communities on a small scale, but we're definitely trying to grow. And that's pretty much it. And thank you all for having me, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, thank you, sir. Now, did you give the information on the home that you have for sale, the traditional build that's in the vicinity of your container community?
No, I'd almost forgot. I do have a house for sale if anyone's interested in community living. This is a conventional home. It's about 4,000 square feet, and it sits on 5 acres of land. So if anybody's interested, you can contact my wife at 678-687-7404 for more information.
Right, and her contact information is also on our website, NOIMOA.com, under the heading of real estate.
Okay, that's right. Yes.
I want to thank you, Mr. Bradley, and thank you, Sister Ann, for arranging such a dynamic show. And so
yes,
also
sir.
Thank the listeners for tuning in, and we look forward to you all tuning in for our next week. And thank you for supporting The Time to Leave. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Mr. Bradley.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Take me home. Take me home. Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed. Down and out, losing ground.
Yeah.
Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters be messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go. To let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel. Not just my spare tire.
Down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. Why my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. Instead, cause I set myself on a quest for truth and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to